Ephesians chapter number 3. We were here Sunday evening, and I want to come back to Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight and do a Bible study tonight before our prayer time. Ephesians chapter number 3. We're going to look in verse number 16 of this chapter and read down through the end of the chapter. Ephesians 3, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I want us to look at these thoughts again. Last Sunday evening, I laid out some things, and I don't want to necessarily lay out and talk about what we discussed on Sunday. I want to look at this portion of Scripture and find some truth that I hope and I pray that would help us as we look into this new year. As we study our thought on Sunday, rooted in our theme for this year, in verse number 17, we found where the Bible says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. I want to look at those thoughts about being rooted and being grounded in love. As we look in verse number 18, the Bible says that may be able to comprehend. So those that dwell in our hearts, Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith so that we could be rooted and grounded in love, so that what? We may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, as we study the love of Christ and we study the Christian walk, the reality is this: we can never fully study it to the end. There's always more to learn. There's always more to know. There's always deeper that we can grow. There's not a person here tonight that has arrived in their Christian walk. Every one of us need to continue to learn. Now, there may be some that have a better knowledge and a better understanding of some things because they've been exposed to the Word of God, maybe for a longer period of time, but no one has arrived. Aren't you glad that you attend a church where no one has arrived? There's always more to learn. There's always more to grow. There's always more of the Christian walk that we can study. There's always more about Christ that we can learn. And so as we study this, we find in verse number 18 that we may be able to comprehend or understand the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, the Bible says. And I want us to look, first of all, in verse number 18, this thought of understanding, comprehending the breadth and length and depth and height. You know what the reality is this? As a Christian, we need to understand and continue to understand the vastness of Christ's love. To really truly understand that. You know, I, like you, have said to people, I love you. And there are some, the reality is this, I love my wife greatly. I love my children, and I tell them as often as I can, I love you. But for us to truly understand love, we need to really truly understand Christ. Christ showed us what true love is. As Christ lived His life, as we find the example of Christ, we find where the perfect example of love is Christ. And I want us to turn a few chapters, two different places here this evening as we talk about this thought of love. But I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5, if you would please. Matthew chapter number 5 this evening, in verse number 44. As I think about love, I want to understand. I want to be rooted. I want to be grounded in love so that I can comprehend, so that I can understand. This upcoming year, I want to understand things about the Lord, things about Christ, deeper than I ever have before. I want to be a greater Christian, a better Christian, not because of something that I've done. I want to understand Christ even greater than I ever have before. And as we look at that, we need to understand what true love is. I want us to look in verse number 44 of chapter 5 of Matthew. The Bible says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitely use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, which what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same?" Here we find this, Jesus is teaching here in Matthew chapter 5, and he says this, "I want to teach you something about love." You see, for us as Christians and as humans, it's easy to love someone that loves you. It's easy to respond to someone that responded to you with love. I tell you, it's easy to love my wife when she loves me. It's easy to love someone when they love me. But here, we need to figure out and find out what true love is. And here, Jesus is saying this, "I want to say unto you, love your enemies." Here we find something even greater. If I truly want to be rooted, if I truly want to be grounded, if I want to comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, then I need to understand what His love is. Not love the way I describe love, or not love the way I think love is, but what does Jesus say about love? You know, it's interesting here. Jesus says this, "If you, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless them that curse you." How many of you would say this? It's difficult to love people that don't love me back. It's difficult to love your enemies. That's why they're called enemies. They're not your friends. He says, not only do I want you to love them, I want you to bless them. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless them that curse you. I want you to do good to them that hate you. I want you to find someone that doesn't like you, that despises you, somebody that hates you, and I want you to, on purpose, do good to them. You see, sometimes we look at our Christian life, and it's easy to say, you know, I'm a good Christian, and I understand what it's like to be a good Christian because I'm showing love to people that love me back. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm a good church member. I'm a good Christian, and I can respond very well to those that are responding well to me. But Jesus says this, "I want you to love someone that's not lovable." Here, if we truly want to be rooted, if we truly want to be grounded in love so that we can understand the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the Lord, if we truly desire that, then we truly must understand what He's trying to teach us. You know, I believe this, as we look into this new year, if we truly want to grow deeper and rooted and grounded in the Word of God and grounded in what we believe and understand the Lord at even a greater level, we've got to learn forgiveness. You know, there's a lot of Christians, number one, they aren't serving the Lord and they're not doing what they're supposed to do because of guilt of the past, and they haven't even forgiven themselves yet. There's some that maybe aren't serving the Lord or reaching their potential for the Lord or doing what the Lord had them to do because someone else has hurt them and they haven't forgiven them yet. And here we have in Matthew chapter 5, to understand love even greater and to understand what the Lord desires for us to do, is He says, "I want you to go and love those of your enemies. I want you to bless those that curse you. I want you to do good to those that are evil towards you. I want you to even pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, I don't believe He says, pray in the way of this, "Lord, you know how evil that person's been to me. Would you please get them?" I don't believe that's what He's saying there. You know what that person's done. You know what that person has said. You know what that person is doing. Would you please deal with them? If that was the case, I don't believe He'd say, love them and bless them. I believe what He's saying there in that verse toward the end there, when He says, "and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you," what He's saying is this, "Lord, I want you to bless them. Lord, I want you to help them. Lord, I want you to help me deal with them. And Lord, I want you to give me a spirit of forgiveness toward them that are dealing wrongly with me." I believe this, in order for us to comprehend this breadth and length and depth and height, in order for us to understand His vast love, we've got to understand what Christ is talking about love. Now, we find this to be true. Christ showed us love on the cross, did He not? You know, every sin that was ever committed, every wrong that you have ever done, every sin that you have ever done in your life, Jesus Christ took that sin and He bore it on the cross. He was the payment for your sin. You know, even on the cross there, as Jesus looked next to that one that was crucified next to Him, and that person, He said to that thief, "Today thou shalt be with Me in paradise." You know what He did? He forgave that person of their sin. You know, it's even interesting, those that beat Him, those that spit upon Him, those that put Him there and nailed Him to that cross, and those that whipped Him, those that mocked Him and scourged Him, those that did that to them, He on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He said, "Forgive them." You know, there were apostles that denied Christ. There was an apostle that even cursed and said, to the little girl that said, "You're with Him. I don't even know who you're talking about. I've never met Him before." And he cursed and denied Christ. And even though he did that to the Lord still forgave him. You know what I see? As we study love, if we truly want to understand and be rooted and grounded in love, we need to understand His vast love and realize this, that the Lord forgives. I see this as well. Look with me in Titus chapter number 3, if you would, please. Titus chapter number 3, in verse number 5. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You know, in order for us to understand His love, we need to understand forgiveness. We need to understand mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is getting what I didn't deserve. I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve what God did for me. I didn't deserve what Jesus did on the cross. None of that I deserve. None of that I could merit. None of that I could earn. But God in His mercy, He loved me and gave me what I didn't deserve. The truth is this, I don't deserve an eternal home in heaven. I deserve eternity in hell because of my sin. But Jesus Christ, in His love, in His mercy, He came and He shed His blood and was a payment for my sin so that I could receive eternal life. That's love, isn't it? You think about what Jesus Christ has done for us. He came and He was your payment for your sin. He forgave you of every sin that you've ever committed. He forgave those that hurt Him. He forgave those that used Him. He forgave His enemies. He forgave those that despitefully used Him. He forgave those that persecuted you, and He had mercy upon them, and He still went to the cross. If we truly want to comprehend, if we truly want to be rooted, we need to understand His vast love. Look with me in Ephesians chapter number 2, if you'll turn back to Ephesians, our text in Ephesians 3, just go back a page to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." You know, if you look with me, those three words in verse number 20 of chapter number 3 of Ephesians, the Bible says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above." Aren't those three words exceedingly abundant above? That means this, no matter how much you need His mercy, no matter how much you need His grace, no matter how much you need His forgiveness, He always has more to give. Isn't that a good thing to know about God? I mean, that's love. How many of you ever got to the place where you thought to yourself and said, maybe even out loud, "If that person does this one more time, I just don't know. I don't know if I can forgive them. I don't know if this happens again. I don't know if I could give him any more mercy. I don't know if I can give him a second chance. You know what God says? God is, he is exceeding abundantly above everything you need. There's always more. My in-laws came into town and my wife said to me, they're only going to be here for a week. We live closer now. When we lived in Georgia, it was farther. And so she said, they're not going to stay as long during Christmas. I didn't smile or I didn't lead on to let her think I thought that was a good idea. I just said, oh, that's good. My in-laws only here a shorter period of time. But they were supposed to be here a week, and then a week turned into a couple more days. And then she said they're going to leave by this date. And I hear them talking about things they were going to do together after the date they were supposed to leave. And so she said they're leaving Thursday, and I heard her talking about things they're doing Friday. And then Brother Jesse, I heard him talking about things they were going to do Sunday or Saturday. So finally I said to my wife, when are they leaving? Because what I found is everything they were going to do, shopping was a part of it. And so finally I said to my wife this, you do realize we're going to run out. It's going to go away. There's only so much. You know, one day you might swipe that card and it might say, declined. And she didn't like that. She said, just pay it then so I can go spend more. But she gets it honestly. Her mom's a good shopper. So they were going out together and every day, and I was joking and saying, no, eventually it's going to run out. Eventually there's no more to spend. But you know, when we study and we learn about the love of God and we learn about the mercy of God, it never runs out. It is always available. It doesn't matter how much I need. It's always abundant, exceedingly more than I ever need. You know what that means? It doesn't matter. You say, last year, I've done some things I shouldn't have done, and I lived in a way I shouldn't have lived, and I'm just not where I need to be. You know what you need to realize is this, that God offers you forgiveness, and God offers you mercy. And we don't have to live in our past. You say, I don't know if God could forgive what I've done. God can forgive, and God will forgive, and God wants to forgive. And the thing is this, when he does forgive, there's even more mercy and forgiveness that he offers. He never runs out. Now, to say, does that give me a license and liberty to sin? No, it doesn't give me a license and liberty to sin. But what it does do is it shows me that when I do, when I fail, when I sin, that God is merciful and God is forgiving, and there is abundant, exceedingly above, more than what I need. He never runs out of what I need in forgiveness or mercy. He never runs out in his love for me. We need to understand there's this vast love, forgiveness, and mercy. You know, I can't understand forgiveness first, though, without being hurt. I say all that by maybe way of introduction to bring us to some thoughts here tonight that I want us to understand. I need to be rooted and I need to be grounded so that I can comprehend Christ. His love. So there are some things that I need to understand about him greater in my life. And I realize this as I study about his love, that he's forgiving, that his love is merciful, and that he's forgiving. And I want to be like Christ. And if I want to be like Christ and grounded and rooted in comprehending the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of his love, then I need to realize this, that I'm going to experience some things so that I can comprehend him greater. Do you realize this? You will never understand forgiveness unless you've been hurt. And for me to understand forgiveness is an opportunity for me to comprehend Christ's love. I want you to think about that. Because the reality is this, we as Christians, we don't want to get hurt. How many of you said, Lord, bring hurt across me this year so that I can understand forgiveness at a greater level? Lord, bring something across my path that's hurtful and hard and difficult so that I can understand forgiveness at a greater level, so that I can understand you at a greater level. The reality is this, we think about that and say, that'd be crazy. It'd be insane. Lord, bring across something in my life so I learn how to forgive. Here we find this to be true, I believe, that we cannot understand forgiveness without first understanding and being hurt. You know, God will allow hurt in your life so that you can comprehend Christ at a greater level. When things come into your life that we don't like, or hurt comes in our life, or situations come in our life, or pain comes into our life, or tragedy comes into our life, how do I respond? How do I respond when these things come? You know, we can respond to hurt in many different ways. We can get upset with God. We can get upset with others. We can respond to hurt in different ways. And that hurt that's in our life, it actually hurt us worse because of how we responded. Or I could do this. I could use that hurt. I could use that suffering. I could use that pain in my life so that I could understand and be rooted deeper to understand truly how Christ would have me to respond. You see, how do I respond? The Bible says here, if look with me in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I can either respond in such a way where I could be filled with all the fullness of God, filled to capacity as we looked on Sunday evening, or I could respond to hurt and pain and suffering in a way where I respond to it in my own flesh. And so as the Lord would allow some things maybe in your life to hurt, how will you respond? The Bible says here in verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Christ can give us forgiveness. Christ can give us mercy more than we could ever think, more than we could ever dream. He is going to do above and beyond what our mind could think. And the Bible says, according to the power that worketh in us, that is not the power where we say, you know, mind over matter. If I just dig real deep, then I can find the strength and I can find the courage to overcome. That's not what the Bible's talking about there. That power that worketh in us is the same that we find in verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by what? His Spirit in the inner man. And so we find here this, I want to understand, I want to comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth of his love, and I want to understand something. I need to understand his vast power. He is greater than I could ever imagine. Do you ever, when your children are real small, isn't it interesting how the younger they are, the more they think you can do? I mean, if you ask Chloe what my limits are, she would pretty much say nothing. I mean, her dad is her hero, right? If you ask Jacob, my teenage son, what my limits are, he'd have a whole list of them for you. He just doesn't view me the same way my four-year-old views me. He loves me. I know he loves me, but there'll be things that I'll say and just joking. He was doing some things, chopping some wood and stacking some wood over Christmas break. And I said to him, I said, hey, bud, if next time you do that, if you want me to come help, I will. And he laughed at me. He said, Dad, you couldn't do it. I said, I what? And the little ones there, oh, yes, he can. He can do it. And the reality is I'm saying, you're right, actually, but I can't. I don't want to. My young one thinks I can do it. My older one says, no, there's limits. But you know what is exciting about the Lord? He is greater than we think. No matter what we think, he is greater. However we think of him right now, whatever I ask, whatever my desires are, whatever I need, he is greater. He truly is greater than any need that I have. I can get through any situation. I can get through any misunderstanding. I can get through anything in my life. I can do that because of the power that worketh in me, because it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of God that works inside of me. I can comprehend. I can learn. I can get through hurt. I can forgive. I can show mercy, not because of who I am. I can do that because of the Holy Spirit of God that works inside of me. It's not me. It's him inside of me. More than I ever know what to ask for, he's greater. More than he could ever ask for. More than I could ever think, he's greater. I've been sharing with you my walk of faith on this venture with my house. And I finally said, you know, Lord, it's yours. It's all yours. And it's amazing what has happened in my life since I finally said, Lord, it's yours. I'm not going to worry. I'm not gonna be upset. I'm not going to fret. And the reality is my wife, she has been the one that's dealing with a realtor. I didn't even know a realtor had my phone number. My wife's been dealing back and forth, and I even stopped saying, have you heard anything today? She said this, I will tell you if I hear. Well, today I get this phone call, and our realtor's name comes up on my phone. I said, that's ironic. I wonder what she's calling me for. I answer the phone. She says, sorry, I called you instead of your wife. I meant to call her. She says, but I got good news. We got an offer on your house. And my initial thought was, yeah, but what is it? She told me what it was, and I said, we're gonna accept it. She says, you want to call your wife and make sure? I said, yeah, that's probably a good thing. Let me call her, but we're going to accept it. The reality is this, the Lord can do exceeding abundantly above anything that we think. I mean, the reality is I think in my mind, Lord, I've got faith that you're going to take care of us through the spring because I realize this, the house probably isn't going to sell through the spring, and I'm good with that. Truly, I'm okay, Lord. I'm going to have faith that you're going to take care of it. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it above and beyond what you can even think. I'm not going to do it in your timing. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it in such a way that I show myself big in your life. You know, my mind can't comprehend his power. What you think about God right now, he's greater. Right now in your mind, think about what you feel about God. And the truth is this, he's even greater than that. He's a great God. And every event in our life is an opportunity to comprehend God's greatness. I want you to think about this. I want to be rooted and grounded in love. In verse number 18, so that I may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height. So that I can know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, so that I could be filled with all the fullness of God. Every event in my life is an opportunity to understand his love greater. Every event in my life is an opportunity to understand, to experience his forgiveness greater. Every opportunity in my life is an opportunity to experience his mercy greater. Every single thing that God allows in your life is an opportunity for you to comprehend him greater. Now listen to me, church. We want to comprehend him greater, don't we? I want to know him more. I want to know his love. I want to know him greater. I want to be rooted. I want to be grounded. Then we must then accept the opportunities he puts in our life so that we can accomplish that greater. So trials come to our life and hurt comes to our life and he allows these things in our life and he allows these things and we're dealing with these things in our life and we say, you know what? I can't believe that this happened. I can't believe this person did this. I can't believe that's going on. And we refuse to forgive. You know what happens? You're not going to understand and comprehend the depth he wants you to comprehend. Every opportunity you have to show mercy and you refuse mercy. Every opportunity you have to understand his love and you refuse that opportunity, you are not allowing yourselves to comprehend the depth and the length and the breadth of his love that he wants you to understand. You see, for us to understand true forgiveness, we've got to be hurt. For us to have to understand mercy, we've got to be put in a situation where we have to give mercy. Forgiveness and mercy is about Christ's love, and that's what he showed us. And he says, I want you to forgive, I want you to bless, and I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you. I want you to pray for those that hurt you. And so every opportunity of hurt in your life, every opportunity he allows in your life is an opportunity for you to be rooted deeper and comprehend him greater. So Christian, as we look at situations in our life, we've got to look at them differently. How many of you like that saying, you know, you don't like fighting, but you like, I forget how it goes, but the greatest part about fighting is making up. Anyone like that? You understand something deeper. You understand love when you understand forgiveness, when you understand mercy. In every opportunity in our life is an opportunity to experience his mercy greater. I come to verse number 21. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what I need to understand? The reason of those things. So that we could say unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. All the events in my life are to produce a better comprehension of who he is. Every situation in my life ought to cause me to comprehend him greater. For what reason? So he receives all the glory. In every situation in my life, I'm rooted, I'm grounded in love so that I can comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth so that I can know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. For what reason? Why is that important? So that every event in my life brings him glory. You realize this as a Christian, everything you do ought to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Every decision you make, every problem you deal with, every way you handle it ought to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Every event in your life is there so that you can deal with it, so that you could be rooted deeper and grounded better to understand his love. For what reason? So he receives glory. As we look at this new year and we look at this theme of rooted and grounded and comprehending his love, that's something all of us, if we were to take a survey, I believe everyone would say this: I want to know God greater. I want to experience his love greater. There's things I want to comprehend greater. I want to know the word of God. I want to know the will of God. I desire to know God greater. Wonderful. Then the opportunities he puts in your life, you've got to take them, whether you like it or not, whether you want them or not. Every opportunity to forgive, every opportunity to show mercy, every opportunity to show the love of Christ in every situation is necessary so that the outcome is this: he receives the glory. Every event in my life ought to bring to the place where God receives glory. Every event. Unto him be glory. All events in my life should be seen by me as an opportunity to understand the power of God greater. There's a situation here. How do I deal with it? I don't know, but I'm going to comprehend something about God. He is going to deal with this in such a way where I see him greater than I've ever seen him before. The events in my life aren't about me, but they are for me to learn about God. You see, when we get to the place in our life where everything's about us, everything, good, bad, and everything in between, it's about us. We've come to the place in life where life is now about us. Life is never supposed to be about us, Christian. The events in my life aren't about me. The hurt in my life, it's not about me. The pain in my life, it's not about me. The circumstances in my life, it's not about me. It's an opportunity for me to learn something greater about God. It's an opportunity for me to deal with it in such a way so that I can comprehend something about him, so the Holy Spirit inside of me could help me, give me the power I need to do what needs to be done. For what reason? So he receives glory. My desire for us, church, would be this: at the end of this year in 2016, we look back at our life and say this: God was seen greater in all of these circumstances because he received glory. The only way we can do that is by being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, his Spirit in the inner man.